Hey, let's go answer the bell, huh?
If we just know what we're doing, work at it, and concentrate and do it.
Let's go, fellas! Go!
What's up? Welcome into another episode of the Patriots Podcast. I'm Sean, he's JJ.
Hello.
So we are here to talk about the loss to the Chiefs, second straight loss for the Patriots, and also look ahead to the We're On to Cincinnati stuff. But first off, we just want to take a look. I have not been paying attention at all to this Spygate 2.0 stuff, mostly because I saw that article title and immediately got nauseous and closed the laptop. So I've been avoiding it. Can you tell me what's going on? Some people were filming Do Your Job and they accidentally got the sideline. I don't know.
Yeah, so what happened was in the press box in the Cincinnati game in Cleveland when they were playing the Browns, some guy in a Bruins shirt, you know, pretty inconspicuous there, obviously, set up a camera right in front of all the Southern scouts and just started filming. The Cincinnati guy, you know, team scout, whatever the hell he was at the time, was like, what the hell is this guy doing? And he saw that it was aimed in the direction or sideline of the Bengals and basically flipped out, called the NFL, da-da-da. They questioned the guy. So what they found was they've got, so far, allegedly 8 minutes of footage of this guy aimed at the sidelines, or filming the sidelines. And the Patriots came out and said, you know, they apologized. Bill Belichick came up with a statement saying he knew nothing about it. This is, you know, like Robert Kraft Productions, which is kind of the same excuse they use in Deflategate, but I don't know if that actually matters this time. That they alerted the Cleveland Browns, who was their home stadium, and the Browns said that they knew about it. And, yeah, that they were filming for, you know, a docuseries on, I don't know, Patriots.com, whatever the hell it was. Some online thing, 10-15 minute Do Your Job videos. So it's kind of odd in a few matters. You know, why would the Patriots do this? Do they actually know anything about it? What could this be guy getting? What, you know, so a lot of questions arise, but it's also right off the surface Patriots defense. This is a guy in a Bruins shirt walking into a Cleveland press box, aiming a camera right at the field with everybody, all these guys around him. So it's like, that's a little ridiculous. You wouldn't think, and second of all, it's the Bengals. They're 1-12. I mean, you wouldn't think they're trying to go do that. If they really wanted to get game footage or sideline footage, they could literally buy a ticket and have the guy sit in the crowd. You know what I mean? It's like,
well, the argument against that is that this is just when they got caught. Maybe they're doing this all the time. Maybe this is standard.
Yeah. So the NFL's looking at it. A lot of people saying they may get a fine just because the Bengals are kind of pissed off about it, but they may not. You know, it's probably going to be a light fine is what it's kind of looking at right now, unless they find the footage on that film is ridiculous. But the other side of it, you know, one of the Greg Bedard, a writer, had a good point basically saying, you know, there's really nothing on the sidelines you can look at anymore. He's like, if you want to steal the team's defensive calls, you can sit there for 10 minutes on the sideline and figure everything out they're doing. I mean, it's not like 10 or 20 years ago before they had the, you know, the helmet headsets where you could figure out there's all kinds of stuff going on in the sidelines. Now it's more of, you know, very basic calling.
And so what are they, the guy talking?
And there's just like, right, there's not a whole lot to look at now on the sidelines. I mean, I know Bill is big into, you know, looking at the coach and this, that, and the other thing. I don't know what you would gain from that, from
that's
a video
more, that's
of another team.
Body language, right?
Right, exactly. And that's like in-game stuff. So it seems like it's overblown. A lot of people think it's overblown. Just the fact that the Patriots' history with this type of thing is makes it a story. Like if this was San Diego, I don't know if you would even hear about it. Like, it would be some footnote of an article. You know what I mean?
Yeah, probably, because they don't have a football team. But I understand,
so, I mean,
what you're trying
LA,
to say.
You know what I mean? The Chargers, whatever. Or Denver, whatever. Whoever it is. It just, the Patriots, this, it seems like it'll blow over. I hope it does. I hope we don't have to hear about this stupid shit again. But, yeah. I mean, I'd be stunned if Bill Belichick, who's all about being super, you know, careful about everything he does, would send some guy into a press box with a Bruin shirt on and have him film a 1-12 team. I mean, it just all, none of it, that adds up. People are a little weirded out about the 8 minutes of footage, but, you know, depending on what they're looking for, I don't know. Maybe the guy was just an idiot and just, oh yeah, film them for 10 minutes and film them for 10. I don't know. Who knows? But it doesn't, right now on the surface, it doesn't seem like it's going to be that big of a deal.
Yeah, and if there's anything I've learned when these scandals happen, it doesn't blow over when it's the Patriot.
No, you're right. It usually doesn't, but usually what happens is every single day, like every 2 hours, more and more and more information come out about this guy said this and that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
There hasn't been that yet. It's just been, okay, the NFL has the video. The Patriots have been cooperating. They gave they interviewed the guy. They filmed that or recorded that or whatever. They're going over the tape to see if there's anything on there that you can't see from a TV broadcast or a coach's broadcast. You know, they're basically just mulling it over, making sure nothing really bad happened. But it's seeming like, I don't know, I don't want to jinx it, but at this point, they're saying the NFL's believing the Patriots' story as it was kind of just a mishap. They didn't notify the NFL. They notified the Browns. I mean, if they notified the Browns and the Browns know and can verify that, I feel like that right there alone would be like, oh yeah, okay, this whoever did it is just kind of an idiot. You know, yeah. whoever this kid was just didn't know what was going on or even think the severity of it. But I mean, you're right. You do never know with this shit.
Never know. And I just checked Pro Football Talk, and it's mm-hmm. the number one story on their website, profootballtalk.com. Recording this on Tuesday night. Possibly,
of course it is.
Possibly, I don't know how the algorithms work. I always go to like NFL.com, and there's always one Patriots story in like the seventh slot on their homepage. And I'm always like, is that's their rotating thing? You know how like Bud Light cans, if you buy a Bud Light can in Atlanta, oftentimes it'll have a Falcons logo on it. But then you go up to New York and it's got a Giants logo.
No, yeah.
I feel like NFL.com does similar type stuff. And I wonder if Pro Football Talk does. But
they all do
that. Whatever the case may be, it seemed like from what I read of what Belichick said, he was just kind of throwing the little lackey under the bus. Like, I have nothing to do with them. I have no idea who that guy is, who he is, what he's doing, why he's doing it. If he screwed up, that's his fault. And Belichick was like, I've never seen any of the videos that they produced.
Right.
He's distancing himself from it. And they're even interviewing Bob Kraft. So this is, it's becoming a story. I hope it flames out, and maybe the losing streak helps. Maybe people, they're like, they're old. It's over. They're over the hill. And then we're going to go kick the living shit out of the Bengals this weekend. And then it'll flare up again.
Yeah.
But let's move back to the real story at hand, which is the matchup against the Chiefs in Foxborough. Last year, these two teams played two of the best games of the season, arguably the two best games. The Chiefs and Rams game also was outstanding last season. And then, oddly enough, this weekend was the game of the year between the Niners and the Saints. But this, going back to the Chiefs and Patriots, it was more of the same from what we've seen out of the team, where it's frustrating offensively, pretty good defensively. I would say more than pretty good, considering the caliber of the offense that they were able to hold down to 23 points and three points total in the second half. But the story of the game for most people, and this is what I think of as narrow-minded and really lazy thought process, is just focusing only on the refs. And I understand they got fucked over by the refs big time.
They got jobbed
big time. But you look at this team and their top four offensive plays, a flea flicker, a running back pass, and two defensive pass interference.
Yeah.
And then the fifth best play was Brady scrambling on a fourth and
six. No, James White had a big run. Did you say that?
No, I didn't.
He had like a 30-yard run or something. That was, I think, a little, I don't know, maybe it was a
19-yard run. Brady had a 17-yard run.
So there you go.
So those things are neck and neck, but the first four stand.
Yes.
This is a team that couldn't get anything going offensively.
I mean, all around, it was kind of disappointing. I think they could have won. One thing I'll say about this team is it doesn't give up. Fourth quarter, you're down, you know, whatever it was, 20-7 or 23-7, and they basically kept coming. They wouldn't stop. They kept trying. And it's not even like they seem to drive the ball. It's not like they're putting great drives together by any means.
Right.
But they seem to get to the red zone. And then there it is, all just a complete shit show. I mean, they missed a field goal. They didn't go for another field goal. They scored, so that's, you know, three field goals, potential field goals, whatever you want to call it. And they got a field goal in the end, then the fourth quarter is what I'm getting at. So that's three field goals, potential field goals, whatever the hell you want to call them. You make two of those touchdowns, it's a different ball game, completely different ball. You know what I mean? So they're getting there. They're not doing anything with it. Our offensive weapons are lackluster, obviously, and I still just look at coaching. I mean, in this game alone, there were a lot of coaching mistakes. A lot of coaching mistakes from a field point perspective, from a points perspective, from play calling perspective. I mean, I'm not getting on, you know, the trick plays are trick plays, and everyone says they're a gimmick, but there were a lot of trick plays run this weekend in general. I don't know if you noticed that in the NFL. I think the Niners ran a couple, the Saints, the Ravens.
Touchdown pass, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, there was just, you know, people are at this point in the NFL, in this point in the season, you know, there's so much tape on everybody. You're looking for something, you know, you're looking for something to spark your team, and that's fine. But the Patriots are a little different. You know, I know Mohamed Sanu, he's probably still hurt, but he's never in there on third down.
Right?
Never in there on third down. Well, if he's hurt, why is he on there on first down?
Yeah, exactly. And they put Jacoby Myers in. He can't catch anything.
Why is he playing on punt return? Why, if he's hurt and you're on a snap count, why the hell are you putting him in certain plays? But when you could actually need him, they go, like, oh, no, we can't put him in there. I mean, you spent a second rounder for this guy. And ankle injuries are tough. Don't get me wrong. But he got it on a punt return, his ankle injury. Yeah. That's coaching. That's all coaching. I mean, not putting him in third downs. If he was only in third downs, and then you go, okay, we're not getting anything going with this guy. I mean, that would be a little different story. But he's going in there certain times. He's not doing much. Brady only looked at him once or twice. I don't really get what they're doing with him, what they expect from him, or if he's just hurt and they're using him more as a decoy than anything. And that's why he's not on third down, because they know they're not going to throw to him.
He does a good job on in-breaking routes.
Yeah, he does.
He gets open because he can muscle people and get position inside of them, and then he creates a window on the inside.
Yeah.
And he hasn't had enough opportunities. And I know you could point back to the fourth down non-conversion against the Texans as saying that was an opportunity. He wasn't able to convert it. It hit him in both hands. I still think he needs more opportunities to make plays.
Yeah.
Romo highlighted one of them where he was open, where they were trying to get it to him. I think there might have been too much pressure. Or Brady might have just not looked at him, where he was in single coverage and other people weren't. There was another one where he did connect with him over the middle, and then there was one where I remember the play. He won on the third down, but there was too much pressure. I think it was the last play of the first half.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, and they're not putting him in the end zone either, or I mean the red zone. He's not really seeing the field down. Maybe it's lack of opportunities, and that's fine. Why is he not getting enough opportunity?
Yeah. That's a question.
What the hell are you doing, right?
That's a good question. One of the other ones is, where'd the running game go? Last year, the way we beat this team was by possessing the ball for 40 minutes. And in this game, the Chiefs beat us in time possession pretty handily by almost 10 minutes.
And we gave up on the run almost immediately.
Yeah, gave up. And Sony Michel played like the first half of the first quarter, and that was that.
And they are the 30th, or the Chiefs are, the 30th or 31st ranked defense against the run in the league. So they haven't stopped anyone against the run all year.
That's the way to beat them. That's the only way people have beaten them outside of the when the Packers beat them, but that was with Matt Moore, quarterback. Everybody else is, let's run for 150 to 200 yards plus. Derrick Henry, that type of thing.
And I understand that the first series, when they tried to commit to the run, you know, first and second down, it didn't work. Fine. What does that mean? Just done? You're done with the run. That's it. Sony Michel's bench. Sony Michel didn't look good, regardless of what he did or didn't do. But they just gave up on it. And then finally, they ran it once or twice with James White, and he was running well.
Yeah, he did all right. Well, his first run was really good, and then he had two that got stuffed, and then he kind of leveled out from.
Yeah, I mean, the offensive line is still having huge problems. I don't know, you know. You get Isaiah Wynn back, you lose Ted Karras. I don't know how much of that has to do with the whole thing. James Ferentz played all right last week. This week, I think it was a little worse, maybe a lot worse. I really couldn't tell too much. He had to go up against Chris Jones, which is a tough task because they put him in the middle. I mean, that's a good scheme by Spagnuolo on the other side. Spagnuolo, whatever the hell his name is. But, you know, and Isaiah Wynn isn't great in pass protection. I've noticed that. He hasn't been playing good at all in pass protection, at least this week. I mean, you can give those guys some help up front. Put in five blockers. You see that last play where Edelman blocked, or one of those last plays.
He flipped the guy. Yeah.
It's like you can do more of that.
Oh, totally. Well, it makes total sense if somebody's getting double teamed the way that Edelman was to block them, have them block. It just it drags everybody else out of the secondary, creates so much space.
Right, and I mean,
those guys aren't looking to rush the passer anyway. They're just going to be standing at the line of scrimmage, and Edelman cuts somebody. They're like, oh, shoot, should I run after Brady?
Right. And not that I want Edelman to be blocking, you know what I mean?
Right.
But the offensive line needs help. You got to put those guys in a position, and usually that's getting the run going in some kind of damn way. And they just gave up.
Yeah, that's a big part of it. Also, our tight ends are not pass blocking very well. They ran a bunch, I want to say around the second quarter, after they moved away from the run game, they went to a double tight end game, which I don't really understand that. That didn't work out. They had a lot of snaps with both Lacoste and Watson, and they would line them up in such a way where they could both help in pass protection. They could do a 7-man protection, and it still wasn't helping. I don't like those guys blocking. They need somebody that can pass protect better. James White actually does a really good job of it. The problem is he's our second best receiver. So yeah. I don't want him doing that job. I'd rather have Brandon Bolden in the backfield. He could probably do that.
Yeah,
Sony Michel should be able to figure it out.
He should be. I mean, you could do something with Bolden and James White back there. I mean, it's almost like Josh McDaniels is calling the game scared. Like, oh, we can't do this, so we got to stop that. And, oh, we can't do that, so we have to try this differently. And, oh, we can't, like, you know, it's like all kinds of different things. N'Keal Harry had a bad game last week. What does he do this week? He gets two plays.
I know, right?
Two plays. You can't get in the end zone, and this guy's sitting there. He's 6'4". Like, you can't get in the end zone, and then you take your receiver who's 6'2", and Mohamed Sanu, and your rookie receiver that's 6'4", and N'Keal Harry, and you go, oh, well, we can't put them on the field in the end zone. They don't know what they're doing.
Yeah, in the red zone.
Yeah, so, and then N'Keal Harry, not only that, on that play where we got absolutely fucked. Now, I know you probably don't want to talk about
the, no, let's get
the
into
refs,
it.
The refs were horrible.
It's a major part of the game. We have to talk about
both sides of the ball. I mean, the Patriots got way more screwed, but the Chiefs got screwed too. I mean, some of those plays in the middle where they got the second and 25 and the block of the back and some stupid bullshit, it was like, what the hell is going on? There was like three or four picked up flags during it. The fumble play where Devin McCourty makes an incredible punch on the ball to knock
it
out.
Amazing. He punched it and then he like followed through with his fingertips separately. Yeah. And that's what dislodged.
He's been awesome at that this year.
So good.
Absolutely incredible. I mean, he did it last week against the Texans too, but the guy caught the ball. He's really good at that. And that was just a great play. The refs, it's funny, you know, the refs are always taught, oh, well, keep the ball, you know, don't blow the whistle until you think the play is completely over, because if it's a turnover, we can just review it and overturn it, you know?
Yeah.
And they immediately call it dead. Gilmore would have probably had a touchdown or at least got to field goal range. That at least happened, you know?
That's happened this year. There's really no excuse. It shouldn't happen.
It shouldn't happen, but you've seen at least that happen in a game where you go, okay, you know, we blew the whistle too quick, dead ball, we, you know, overturn, you get the ball here, you don't get the run back. I mean, I've seen that a couple times. It happened to us against in the playoffs a couple years ago with Miles Jack. He should have returned it for a touchdown. It probably saved us the game. You know, that you see that. Look, that's terrible, but okay, you got the turnover. That's fine. The N'Keal Harry play, when he didn't step out of bounds, it's like, what the fuck are you guys looking at, and why didn't anyone say anything?
Yeah, well, they're both mistakes. What I wanted to say about it was, well, it's that they compound. It's that if they screwed up one but not the other, you'd be fine.
Right.
Like if they called it a fumble and then it's a turnover, it gets reviewed, you find out, oh yeah, it actually was a fumble. You still have a challenge in your bag. You could use it. But what I wanted to say, it started with the third down spot, the Chiefs spot, right, where they gave him an extra yard. Belichick throws the challenge flag. He says, I didn't know you could challenge two things. Belichick's creating stuff at all times. He goes, challenge a pass interference and the spot. It's very clear that Travis Kelce was not running a route, went downfield and then stopped and did like a little booty bump. back that bumped Gilmore and created the separation needed to complete that pass.
Right.
So it did materially affect the play. I know it wasn't a shocking amount of contact or anything, but it was effective, and it was very clear that he was not running a route when he did that. So there's that they screwed, and then the spot was spotted at the 40. He didn't make it to the 39. Now, maybe you put it at the 39, which is where the first down marker was, but he didn't even make it there.
No, the announcers, you know, Romo and Nance were just standing there like, oh, this is not a first down. Like, it was not even a question in their mind.
Yeah, and then the guy comes out and he just goes, the play stands.
Yeah.
It's like, that's your explanation.
But the thing that gets me mad about that on the coaching end is Bill should – I know you want to get every edge you can, but you shouldn't have challenged.
Now, that seems like a good challenge.
It does, but then you can't – now you don't have – I knew when they challenged two plays before the fourth quarter that they were going to get fucked, and Bill should have known that for the way this game was going.
But
you're
going
to need all
you had
the
– challenge. You had to challenge the fumble. You had to do that.
No, you had to challenge the fumble.
So your hands were tied after they screwed up the earlier challenge. It's like, oh, they screwed this up. I have to correct this. I mean, what good is a challenge other than getting a turnover when the other team is driving into your own territory? I mean, that's
the best
time to use a challenge.
It's just pretty insane that when everybody goes, oh, that the guy clearly wasn't out of bounds, but we ruled it that way for some reason.
Yeah.
And no, they don't have a challenge. So that's it. It's just this absolute bullshit call will stand just because there's no means to switch it.
Right. And that's the other thing that this is the takeaway for me, is that the refs need to be coached to call the game in such a way that you can fix mistakes.
Yeah.
So that's why they always say lean. If it looks like it might be a fumble, just call it a fumble because we can fix it.
Right.
We turnovers are reviewed. Same thing. If it looks like a touchdown, call it a touchdown. We'll review it and we'll figure it out.
And we can always bring it back, right?
And the third one of those is this team doesn't have a challenge. If we can, if it's a judgment call, let's judge it in their favor, so that the other team has a chance to challenge, because that team has no means of correcting our mistake.
Right.
Call the game in such a way that your mistakes can be corrected.
And that's
they failed to do that time after time after time.
Yeah. I mean, I would have thought that after the Saints last year, when the guy got PI, blah, blah, that they would have had somebody at the game on the officials' crew kind of just watching a screen and going, oh, this guy's in. What are we doing? You know, I mean, no one needs to challenge. Just the guy's in. It's clearly in. All right. Bring it back. It's a touchdown. It's fine. You know what I mean? And there's no checks and balances to that. And this crew was just terrible. I mean, there was one play. You know, the Philip Dorsett pass interference was bad. The second one that they didn't call, where Vazier was being tackled, whether or not it was catchable, I thought it probably could have been. Some people think it wasn't. That's fine. He was tackled. Whatever.
They didn't call it uncatchable. They just didn't call it.
Yeah. The fight on the sidelines where Gilmore and whoever the hell that was, Sammy Watkins going at it, and Sammy Watkins is on top of him on the sideline.
The entire time. And Watkins threw a couple. They weren't closed fist punches, but they were like slaps to the face.
Yeah.
Multiple.
And whether or not it was Gilmore's fault or Watkins' fault or both of their fault, they didn't even address it.
Right.
There wasn't – sometimes if it's both guys, what they'll do is, you know, they'll throw flags on each team. They'll cancel out, but they'll give a warning and, you know, basically to be like, you can't do that. There's no fighting on the sidelines. You know what I mean? I think it was Sammy Watkins. I could be being biased here, but I think it was more Sammy Watkins' fault. That should have been a 15-yard penalty on him. Now, regardless, they didn't even talk about – they didn't even acknowledge that it was happening. And it's like, are you guys fucking kidding me with this? There was another one where they called – I think it was hands to the face or something.
Yeah, they called it on their right guard.
And it was only a 5-yard penalty. They only gave him 5 yards. It was a 10-yard penalty.
Yeah, they made it 2nd and 15, and it should have been 2nd and 20. And then they just went on with it. I mean, how many clips were there of Belichick losing his mind during this game?
Flipping out. And it's, you know, regardless of all these other things, you know, the blatant you're inbounds. You know, the fact that you don't even know it's a 10-yard penalty when it's supposed to, when you give them five.
That's just a bonehead. That's not a judgment call. That's just a bonehead.
Know
play.
That. And then on the Myers play, they thought it was a catch. They call a touchdown. They review it. They overturn it. Now you have to send the field goal team on it, and they don't reset the play clock. We had to burn a timeout because they didn't reset the play clock on something they screwed up.
Yeah.
Amazing. It's just one after another after another, and it's like, what are you guys fucking doing?
Yeah, and that's a perfect example of it might have been a judgment call, and they called it a touchdown to make it reviewable. Let's save the Chiefs a timeout and a challenge.
And they did. They saved their asses.
The other thing I wanted to mention, I think the last thing on the refs, is do you remember it was by the goal line, Kyle Van Noy is taking down Mahomes, and Mahomes grabs his face mask and is like yanking his face mask around. They throw the flag, and it turns out to be a face mask on Patrick Mahomes. However, before they announced that, Mahomes and Jerome Boger, the referee, are having like a minute and a half conversation, and he's pleading his case for like a minute and a half, and I'm like, that's the offending party. Why are you talking to him?
Right.
Why in the world are you just going to be like, oh, he said he didn't do it, so I thought they were going to pick it up. I really did.
I mean, I didn't know a quarterback could draw a face mask penalty.
Yeah, well. And
what the hell is that anyways?
This is going to sound so stupid coming from a Patriots fan where Tom Brady lobbies the refs as much as anybody in the
league. Yeah.
And has for years. But I don't know. It pissed me off.
What? Go on.
It's just, it was a frustrating game, man.
It was
a
terrible.
Really frustrating game.
Now, one thing they didn't show the replay, and I don't know, but I've seen it really happen a lot in the past 2 years. I think they came up with the rule last year. This defensive lineman holding call.
Right? Yeah.
It's excuse me? what are you calling? Oh, the guy stopped the blocker from getting to his block? It's like, isn't that what the fucking defensive lineman's supposed to do? Disrupt the play? Oh, now
you're allowed. You're allowed to grab the offensive lineman by the shoulder pads, by the jersey. You see it all the time. But apparently you can't just prevent him from moving away from you.
Yeah, I don't understand that. I mean, I think they called it twice in this game against us. They called it in the Ravens game against the Ravens. They called it a few times, and it's like, what are you talking about? Like, where did this penalty come from? Who's the asshole coordinator that was like, oh, my guard can't pull. That's why the play didn't work. No shit. Maybe you should get a better guard. That's the whole fucking point of the defensive lineman, is to make sure that your play doesn't work. And it's like, oh, now we have – it's like – and it's a 10-yard penalty. Isn't it an automatic first down? It's like a ridiculous penalty.
It's 5 yards automatic first. Yeah, it's the same as a hold in the secondary.
It's unbelievable. That's on, like, they should get rid of, you know, whether or not the Patriots committed or not, I have no idea. I don't even know how you do commit that penalty, because it's literally happening every play. You know, right? Like, if you talk about things happening every play, that I can assure you is happening every play. And all of a sudden, now we just call that for automatic first down. It's like, what the fuck are you talking about?
Every defensive penalty, just everyone except for offsides, is an automatic first down.
Which is a little ridiculous. I mean, I can understand.
It's overkill.
Yeah, it's overkill. I can understand the pass interference. It's like spot of whatever. I don't even want to get into that whole thing. But that play, that penalty should just be gone.
It should be de-emphasized.
Gone.
Big
it's,
time.
It's ridiculous. Unless it's something horrible, like a guy choke slams somebody by the neck. Like, okay, call it. Fine. You know what I mean? It's absolutely terrible. So the refs.
They did
really
sway the game.
Screwed us. They did sway the game because there's a few. If we get that touchdown now, okay, well, we can automatically we still have to make the kick, but now all we need is a field goal at the end of the game.
Right, but then it does change the game. Well, first of all, they called him out of bounds. Now you get first and goal from the 3-yard line. You should be able to convert that.
Yeah.
Then if there was a touchdown there, you go into your final drive. You're only down 3 points. Now you find yourself in a 4th and 6 around the 33-yard line. This is the play when Brady scrambled.
Mm-hmm.
Do you kick that field goal? I think they probably kicked that field goal. And does Nick Folk make that field goal?
Right.
That's a big question mark.
That's a big question mark.
It was from the 29-yard line, so it would have been a 47-yarder. You kicked that field goal. Yeah. And that's probably a coin flip if he makes that.
I have no idea, but it definitely changes the decision.
Yeah, definitely changes the decision.
There's... I don't remember just like referee ineptitude changing a game so much. Like we've seen calls non-call. Right, that's a non-call that changed the game. But that's a play. We've seen that before. We've seen over the years where an egregious pass interference isn't called because they let them play a little too much.
Right,
and that happens. That's fine. You don't see 2 touchdowns taken away just wrong yardage called on stuff. Just, I mean, there was a couple calls they called on the Chiefs that were, that face mask. It's like, I didn't even know that was a rule that the quarterback can't touch the guy's face mask. It's like, why can't a running back? Like,
well, grabbed it. He grabbed it and pulled him by it.
Who gives a shit? I mean,
I do.
You know,
okay, I do.
Fine. I mean, there was a couple block in the back they called. It wasn't a block in the back. At least
there were a few of them. I think they might have called one on Kelsey. It was like, where? What were you people looking at?
What do you look? I mean, it was just bad. And I mean, it's crazy because this officiating crew, someone went back and I was listening to them on a podcast or a radio show. I don't remember which one, but they were like, this, the Patriots' last home loss was to the Carolina Panthers in 2017. And oh, guess whose crew it was? Jerome Boger's. And then went back. What?
I said, whatever.
But they just went back, and apparently this guy has a history with the Patriots. I don't know why, if he's an idiot or he's got something against them, but he is. They shouldn't be able to ref. That was as bad as those fake referees a couple years ago.
Hoden on the defense.
Yeah.
Terrible. That's my Jerome Boger impression.
Hoden. Absolutely terrible.
It's like that's an L in holding, sir.
No. Yeah. Now, besides that.
Besides, I want to talk about the offense before we get to the defense, which I think is the lone bright spot in this game.
I want to keep the offense?
Yeah. I think the defense is the lone bright spot. I want to talk about the offense
I want
and
to
the
keep,
future of it.
Yeah. So before we get into that, more of the offense, and I'll lead into it with my point, is coaching decisions. Now, we can argue the challenges one way or the other. I disagree with the first challenge, but that's all obviously in hindsight based on what happened later in the game. The fact to go 4-2 on that whatever touchdown that was in the third quarter.
Third quarter, yeah.
Greatly affect the game because you realize that if we score that point, now a field goal or a touchdown wins the game.
Yeah.
Now we
see how that affects it.
Well, because
you still need to score the touchdown, which
you still do, but it would have been a tie.
They failed to score the touchdown anyway.
Well, why did we go for two? To get from 11 to 10?
Yeah.
It was garbage. Garbage. Absolute garbage. The reason to not kick the field goal, like you said.
Well, no, it wasn't to get from 11 to 10. It was to try to get from 10 to 8. Because we were down 23 to 13, and we went for 2 points to try to get it to 23-15, which would have made
it a one-score game
instead of a two-score
Still,
game.
Still, bullshit. You need to take.
I think
the
it was a good call.
I think you need to take the points when you can get them with this offense. It's so bad right now. That's like if you can get 8 points, you got to get it.
Okay.
I thought the field goal that they went for it on 4th and 7. It's like 4th and 1, 2, and maybe 3. Fine, but 4th and 7. It's like if you guys can't even kick a field goal, like holy shit.
Newsflash: they can't kick a field goal.
Yeah. Well,
not one more than 40 yards. It got blocked, and then they were like, "Fuck that."
Yeah, I don't know. I thought that was a bad call. I really did. And then, among other things, the thing that killed me was N'Keal Harry has that great play. The guy, you know, all of a sudden, everyone's shitting on this guy for weeks. Fine, whatever. You see him with the ball in his hands, and all of a sudden, this guy looks like an NFL player. It's
right?
Like, holy shit. He got the, you know, looked fast. He beat a couple guys out. He made a great move. He was physical. He got right in the end zone. It was a 15-yard play. I mean, it wasn't world record or anything incredible, but it was a nice, solid football play where you go, okay, that's why, you know, this guy, that's that guy's talent. Now, that was mid-fourth round, early fourth or fourth quarter. Why didn't we do it again?
That's a great question. And that is exactly number one on my list of hopeful things to look forward to for this offense is – I didn't realize N'Keal Harry could run with a ball like that.
I don't think anyone did. I don't think the Patriots did, for Christ's sake.
I know it only happened once, but you're absolutely right. He looked extremely capable and a force to bring down in the open field.
Yeah.
And that's something that they need to go back to.
And the fact that they didn't – I mean, when he didn't score that touchdown, I would have done it the next goddamn play.
Why not?
Why not? Oh, just give him the ball, wide receiver screen. You've been asking for a wide receiver screen for what, the last 4 weeks?
Basically, yeah.
They finally do one to a rookie receiver who no one thinks can play at the moment, and the guy looks dynamite.
Yeah.
and then we're struggling our asses off to get a touchdown the series after that, you know, the final series when he's not there. Hey, Josh, why don't you call a fucking screen to him or get the ball in his hands? Let him run with it, for Christ's sake. Why didn't he
give him
that?
A jet sweep?
He was. I mean, it's like, what are you – he just – anything. See if he – you know, you can't get him doing anything, and you do – you finally see something good out of him, and you're like, oh, he needs to go back to the bench. We can't do anything with him. That's great. Fucking absolute ball slapper. Like, what do you... Come on.
I hear you. I hear you. Yeah. So the things... Right now, the offense is clearly dysfunctional. Almost nothing is working. And they need to figure out some answers. Otherwise, this is going to be a one-and-done team in the playoffs.
Yeah.
And so... To me, there's only a couple of possibilities for how this is going to get better. One of them is, like we just said, N'Keal Harry becomes a big part of this offense, and he is able to, what?
I really have to piss.
All right, go ahead.
I'm so sorry. This never happens, obviously, but... I am. All right.
All right, good. For N'Keal Harry to establish himself as part of this offense. That's one of them. And one of the primary driving things is either a jump ball or catch and run type plays. Mm-hmm. Another one is Mohamed Sanu to get integrated, to take a step forward in the offense. The others are Jacoby Myers and Philly Dorsett. Stop just going out there and asking for pass interference penalties and actually try to catch the ball.
Yeah.
That would be nice. And you can see all three of those are, can we get some development out wide? The last two, number four is the offensive line develops. They have some cohesion. James Ferentz integrates himself, or Ted Karras comes back into the fold and is able to solidify things up front. And going along with that is finding an additional pass protector, whether that means plugging in a tackle to play tight end, finding a tight end that can pass protect, a back that can pass protect, something along those lines. And then the fifth one is, and I don't understand why this is the case, why can't we find a fullback?
I know, right?
How many fullbacks are there in the NFL? There's like 10.
Yeah.
And that has not always been the case. It's not like this is a unique type of human.
Yeah.
It used to be every team had a fullback, at least one, if not more. It's like, where are all these people, and how do you lose a player? I understand that James Devlin is right up at the top. He's in the top tier of fullbacks in the NFL. You're not going to be able to get a James Devlin, but you got, James Devlin played defensive end in college.
Yeah.
Can we find somebody to just blow someone up in the hole? I mean, how difficult could that possibly be? And it seems like they just flat can't do it.
Yeah.
But those are my five ways that things could improve offensively. I actually think they're all unlikely, and I think we're probably stuck with this version.
You think they're all unlikely?
I think they're all unlikely. Yeah, I don't think Sanu is going to be a big playmaker this season. I don't think N'Keal Harry is going to be either. I don't think Phil Dorsett or Jacoby Myers is going to be. I don't think they'll find a fullback, and I think the offensive line will continue to have issues because they're going to be facing all-out pressures. And I'm not talking about blitzing eight people. I mean, everybody's going to be a one-on-one matchup
right
up front because they're not going to keep two safeties deep. They're going to be like, we only need one safety. He just looks at Edelman, and that's that.
Right, and that's what the Chiefs basically did.
Yeah.
Which is, I mean, it just shows you the center, you know, how underrated that is. Not even that Andrews is the most physical guy, just him making sure, you know, it's the center's job to give out the line calls. You know, me and you are going to double-team this guy, you're going to get that. You know, he's kind of sets that tone.
Mm-hmm.
And it just shows how... You know, nobody really realized how big of an injury that was at the time. Everyone was like, oh, my God, you know, it's a starting player. It's bad. But no one thought it would have this type of impact on an offensive line. Even, you know, with your Wynn, who's supposed to be your starter at left tackle, is there, and it's not making a huge difference. I think a couple of those things will happen. Now, first, I think that what they should do when we get to the playoffs is James White's your number one running back, and he's your running back the whole time.
Okay.
I think that'll be a huge help. It just looks better when he's on the field. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it totally looks better. I mean, the offense does not have an identity when Sony Michel's out there because they're unable to run between the tackles.
Yeah, I mean, when James White's in there, I feel like it just makes things move a little better. Brady's more comfortable, if anything. And I think between Harry or Sanu, one of them's going to take on. And that's all you kind of really need. At the moment.
That's amazing.
Edelman in White is all we've had so far, and they're keeping us in these games. I mean, three losses we have are, you know, the top three other teams in the NFL. In the AFC, besides maybe the Bills. You know, they're all division leaders right now. They're good teams. And we've pretty much been a score away from winning all of them. Now the Ravens got a little more lopsided at the end of the game, but you know, you were in it pretty much the whole time, and if Edelman didn't fumble the ball, maybe it would have been a much different game. Anyways, you just need one more guy that can move the sticks.
You're right.
That's all you fucking need. Now, we thought Dorsett would be great. Now, Dorsett's kind of been bumped up into this number two, number one receiver, which he can't do, which we've talked about. And McDaniels finally started figuring something out worth, okay, if they're doubling Edelman, at least move Edelman to the outside. So now your double coverage is on the outside and you free up more space in the middle. I think that was a positive move. If Sanu can get healthy and play like he played in the Ravens, nothing special. He had like 9 or 10 catches for 80 yards and a touchdown. That's fine.
That's all it takes.
If Nikhil Harry can be good with the ball in his hands and become a reliable target, that's great. If you have both of them happen, that's amazing. Or on the inverse, if your offensive line just works, I think that takes care of a lot of issues itself. If they become a better than average offensive line somehow. Because they have the talent.
They do. They definitely have the talent.
I just don't know why they're not playing well. You have a first rounder at left tackle. Marcus Cannon last year was a great right tackle and has been. He's had his ups and downs. Shaq Mason's supposed to be one of the best guards in the league, and Joe Tooney is playing like one of the best guards in the league. Outside, well, he had a bad game too last week. But generally, he's been pretty good. He had a pretty bad game. But those guys should be able to play up. If you can get either one or two receivers going more than you have, or your offensive line, I think you have a real good shot at making some damage in the playoff.
Yeah, well, there you go. And a lot of that has to do with the defense. That's the best weapon on this team.
Mm-hmm. And special teams.
Special teams outside of the field goal kicking. We're gonna continue to have a hard time.
And the return game too.
Well, we get absolute dick out of our return game, but we cover kicks like motherfuckers.
Yeah,
that's for sure. Our defense, we went into this game saying that they needed to not only be neutral in the turnover battle, needed to win it, and they were able to do that. Defense forces two takeaways. Special teams has a blocked punt, so we're able to win that part of it. We mentioned how the Chiefs are about a 50-50 team in the red zone, which is exactly how it played out in this game.
Mm-hmm.
The defense forced them to stop and take three field goals on drives where they were moving the ball. And, that's huge. Keep them out of the end zone. Not only that, they kept them out of the red zone.
Mm-hmm.
And they forced Harrison Butker to hit some deep field goals. And, damn, that dude doesn't miss. He might be the second-best kicker in the league.
He was pretty legit.
Will Lutz is up there, too. But the Chiefs are 5 of 16 on third downs. I mean, Johnny Jones was being attacked in the second quarter. They get that deep third 19 play to Tyreek Hill, and then they hit Mecole Hardman on a touchdown pass right afterwards, both against Johnny Jones. He completely turns it around in the second half.
Yeah, people have been attacking him to some degree of success, which I was a little surprised with.
Yeah, well, they're putting him against some of the best players in the league. I mean, he's playing against Tyreek Hill. He didn't play against DeAndre Hopkins, but you know, Will Fuller's no slouch. Will Fuller is the player that makes that Texans offense go.
Right.
And the reason they do that is because he's our speed corner. And the only other person that can play that speed corner is Jason McCourty, who's been injured, returns for this game, but only plays four plays.
Mm-hmm.
So it was really all on Johnny Jones. Because of Jason not being able to go out there defensively throughout, they had to keep J.C. Jackson playing against receivers. And I really would have liked to see him have some time against Kelsey. I think Kelsey was just converting so many third downs. He was just moving the chains, keeping the ball going. And, Patty Chung is one of my favorite players ever for the Patriots. But I would have liked to see J.C. Jackson get a couple turns against him.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I mean, I thought the defense played, the Chiefs had their moments. They're going to have them. That's going to happen. Brady, I don't think Brady really had a great game at all. He threw that pick, which I don't know. You know, if that was the corner screwing up or the corner reading it great. I don't know what it was, but he threw that pick, and that kind of hurt the defense. That gave him a touchdown. You know, the defense was tired at that point. They're at the 20 or wherever the hell they were, 10, and they score an easy touchdown. They don't score that touchdown, you basically held the Chiefs to 16 points.
Yeah, not too shabby.
Which is pretty damn good for an offense like that who's top in the league with all those ridiculous weapons. And just the defensive scheme they ran. I loved it. They had two safeties over the top. Finally. It's like, why didn't you run that against Houston?
That would have been great against Houston, right?
You ran that defense against Houston. Houston maybe scores 14 points. They don't score 28. No chance in hell. You win that game.
That's
easily.
The difference.
That's
coaching,
a,
man. That's you are all about the coaching.
Coaching. I mean, yeah. You know, it's they don't have the talent they think they have or that they think they need or whatever it is. And because of it, they keep screwing themselves. They're like, well, we can't do that. Might as well play scared. No, that's not Bill Belichick. He's taken worse offenses and done more with them than this.
The other thing we didn't mention is Patrick Mahomes had a hand injury.
Yep, he got his
hand
hurt
in the first half. And, pretty quick. In the second half, he didn't seem like the same player.
Because they were hitting him.
Yeah,
they were hitting him hard.
He took a real big pop in the ribs in the first half, too.
Yeah, he was taking a beating all fucking game. So, you know, we didn't really talk about Brady a lot this game. I mean, there's really so little going on around him that it's tough to get on him. But he didn't have a great game. I mean, he was getting hit. He threw that bad pick. But then he drove. I mean, he was really, you know, it's the Edelman White show. That's really what it comes down to. The thing I thought was interesting, though, is he was looking to Myers a lot.
Often, yeah.
Often, you know, on the biggest plays. Some of the biggest plays, third down, stuff like that, which is interesting to me that's where they would go. And maybe that's all he had. I don't know.
Well, yeah, he doesn't have many options there. If Edelman's doubled, they're keeping two blockers in for a max protect situation. Then it's between Myers and the other guy, and he's just choosing matchups or trust. And I guess he trusts Myers more than he trusts Dorsett. And to be honest, I don't really blame him.
Which is crazy.
Yeah.
Because I thought he had all kinds of trust with Dorsett. I think it's just Dorsett's, and you need that other guy. And then Dorsett's more of a weapon. When Dorsett's the number two, it's just like, oh, God. I've been saying that for a while. But so our outlook, I mean, we're still 10-3.
Yep.
You have right now you have the number two seed with the bye automatically right now.
As long as they win out.
If we win out, we get it. If we lose one more game, basically Kansas City takes it because they have the tiebreaker. Baltimore, you're probably not getting that first seed. Baltimore has to lose two of their last three games, which they are playing the Steelers, which could be a good game, but I'd be stunned if they lose two games.
Steelers, no. Browns, Bengals.
The Bengals.
Or the Ravens.
Bengals.
No, no, Jets. Jets, Steelers,
Jets.
Browns.
Now, you know what? If anyone beat them, for some goddamn reason, I wouldn't be surprised if the Jets just pulled something out of their ass.
Well, it's going to be on Thursday Night Football, and Lamar Jackson is coming off a quad injury.
Yeah.
And he might not even play.
No way.
They're thinking about, is it worth playing him in this game? If there's even the possibility that it aggravates.
Probably is worth it.
Probably is worth it?
Well, the Browns blew him out in the first game. Nobody seems to remember that. I mean, I know.
That's true.
I know that it's the Browns. They've kind of been a train wreck. Freddie Kitchens is a joke. But they beat them like 40-20 or something. Like beat the shit out of them. I have no idea how. I didn't see
that. Yeah, that was a weird game.
It was like crazy. And then the week 17 is the Steelers, which are arguably the hottest team in the league right now with freaking Duck Hodges over there.
You mean after the Ravens? The Ravens are.
I'm sorry. After I'm sorry. One of them. They're they're playing. They went from 1-6 to.
They're 8-5.
8-5 or 1-5 to 8-5. That's pretty damn good. So, and their defense is playing really good, and they're going to be fighting for a playoff spot and seeding, so they need to play that game. They're going to want to win that game. I don't know if that means anything, but if Lamar Jackson's hurt, oh boy, this is going to be an interesting fourth quarter of the season.
Right, then the field opens up again. Yeah, this is the way the seeding is currently. It's Ravens, Patriots, Chiefs, Texans, Bills, Steelers. That's the way it looks. The real only thing that can change is, are the Titans going to get in the mix? And I don't think they are. And the reason for that, the Titans' final three games are Texans, Saints, Texans. Those are their last three games.
Texans, so Saints, Texans, yeah.
That's who the Titans have to play. And in order to win the division, they have to beat the Titans. I mean, they have to beat the Texans both of those games. Or if they split, then the Titans need to beat the Saints, and the Texans need to lose to the Buccaneers.
Oof.
And so I don't really think that's
unlikely.
A possibility.
And
I don't think either of those are likely. Yeah. So I think the Titans are in a tough spot, and it doesn't look like they don't have a really as good a conference record as the Bills or the Steelers. So I really don't see them getting in.
Yeah, and I hope they don't, because they're actually a team that's built well to maybe beat us.
Yeah.
With that running game and defense.
The Titans would only get a wild card if they were able to beat the Saints, the Titans once, and the Bills and Steelers. One of them lost 2 out of 3 of the last 3 games.
Yeah.
That's unlikely. The Jets are going to play. They could play spoiler to somebody. They have the Ravens, then the Steelers, then the Bills.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if they do. they're usually they good in that spot, too.
The Jets at the end of the season with nothing going on?
They really are. So
is Adam Gase.
Yeah, so we'll see. I mean, the Patriots, they own their own destiny right now for the at least the first round bye. You have the Bengals, who we'll go over briefly because they're probably the worst team in the league. The Bills, which we'll go over way more in depth next week because this is arguably the biggest game of the Patriots season, where they have a chance to actually lose the division for the first time in Brady's career. And if they lose that, they automatically get bumped down to the 5th seed, maybe be 6th seed in the wild card, which would be terrible. No, 5th seed, which would be terrible. And then you have the Dolphins at home in New England, which should be easy.
Should be a layup.
I mean, if you want to briefly go over the games this week, you had the Ravens beat the Bills in a 24-17 game. I don't know if you watched any of that or you watched more of the San Francisco at 49ers game.
I watched, yeah. San Fran Niners game was too good.
That was an absolute crazy game.
It was epic.
I don't know how the Niners actually won. It was back and forth for a while. The Saints had the lead. Then the Saints had a big lead. Then the Niners got a lead. It was nuts. So two really good teams going at it.
Denver went into Houston and beat the crap out of them.
There's the Patriots hangover. Biggest win of Bill O'Brien's career, and then he gets his ass kicked. I thought when I watched the Bills play the Ravens, they held them for 24 points. I thought the Bills defense played the Ravens really well. It was kind of inclement weather a little bit. It wasn't great conditions, but I think they exposed that offense a little bit.
I'm really curious to see if somebody is going to be able to, in the same way that Belichick and the Bears last year both put down the blueprint on how you slow down the Rams, and that seemed to have carried over into this season, I mean, minus what happened on Sunday night where they actually looked good against Seattle. I'm wondering if by the end of the season somebody is going to find that blueprint that's going to shut down Lamar, and it might come in trickles.
I think it has.
A game like this where the first step gets, the first stone is placed.
Last week you had the Niners. I mean, the Niners, I think that was bad weather. Maybe I'm confusing the bad weather game.
That was a monsoon.
That was bad weather, and the Ravens offense didn't play great. Now, I don't know schematically what they were doing, the Niners were doing against them, but all Lamar could do was run the ball. Could have been the weather. I don't know. The Bills, basically, if Josh Allen could throw the fucking ball, the Bills would have won.
Yeah.
The
Ravens defense is getting better.
They are. They're actually getting pretty damn good. But they had wide open receivers 10 down. There was at least 5 times I saw different plays where they even slowed it down. They're like, okay, here's this guy wide open over the top. And what does Josh Allen do? He made the read. He just couldn't throw the ball to him. 10 yards over his head every time. If he made 2 out of those 5 passes, the Bills would have won the game easily because there was no one behind him. So there's that. Then you had the Rams really making Seattle look pedestrian, which was pretty impressive. And outside of that, there weren't many other games. So yeah,
not too much.
On to the Bengals. On to Cincinnati, On to
Cincinnati. Yeah, I was usually before we do this, I look into the other team and I'm like, what do they do well? Who's good on the roster? You're looking at this squad. It's just piss poor. I mean, it's god awful. It's horrific. They're not good at anything. The only thing they're remotely decent in, like top 10 in the league, top 10, which is top third, it's really not that good, is red zone defense. That's really the only thing.
Well, that is kind of the Patriots' problem. I wonder if that's the case because nobody needs to get to the red zone.
It could be.
How many teams
that people are just scoring from downtown?
I mean, defensively or offensively, they're just basically the worst in the league. They're 15 points a game, which is 31st. They're 25th in yards. They can pass the ball a little bit. They can't run the ball for shit. Defensively, they're near the bottom of the league. I mean, they're 31st in yards allowed, which is, you know, pretty much the worst. 23rd in points. They give up 25 a game. They're bad against the pass. They're the worst in the league against the run. So if we're going to get the run going,
this is the week.
This is the game. I don't care who it is. Shoney Michel, Rex Burkhead, maybe get some Damian Harris in there. Just get the offensive line's confidence up. Hey, yeah, we can actually, and I don't care if they're the worst in the league, we can at least block them.
Yeah. One thing you can say about the Bengals is they're consistent. They've only given up more than 30 points two times a season.
Mm-hmm.
And they've only given up less than 23 times. They're going to give up about 25 points just about every week.
Yep.
That's what they do. Just that's the sweet spot. So, yeah, I really don't have much to say. But I mean, they still have Geno Atkins. They got Carlos Dunlap. I don't blame A.J. Green at all. After watching the way this team's played, can you blame him for not showing up? I mean, why would you want to play for this team? They benched their quarterback, Andy Dalton, who is the only competent player on that offense outside of Joe Mixon. The offensive line is trash. Mm-hmm. Tyler Boyd's okay. I know Tyler Boyd. But yeah. Gilmore's going to erase him. And then they bench Andy Dalton for my guy, Ryan Finley, rookie quarterback out of NC State, and he looks so bad.
Yeah.
He looks so bad. I mean, that's a terrible surrounding cast to put a rookie out there in, but wow, he looked really bad. The head coach might be a one and done. I got nothing to say. I mean, you put Gilmore and Tyler Boyd, you rush the quarterback, you stop the run, and I don't know if they score more than 10 points.
No, I mean, our defense, this should be one of those games where our defense doesn't give up more than 3 fucking points.
Yeah.
Seriously. And, I mean, offensively, you know, we've been playing bad statistical defenses. Now, whether they're getting up more for the occasion because they're playing the Patriots, you know, the Chiefs. We beat the Chiefs twice last year. We ruined their great season last year. So I can see that their defense probably had something to prove. Bengals have nothing to prove. The Bengals suck. They got their one win. You know, we should take severe advantage of this defense and the offense all around. I mean, we should beat them. It should be easy. It's probably not going to be easy because we've seemed to play down to the talent this year, but I really hope we can see some positive. I don't care what happens. As long as we win and we see some positive offensive growth is really what I want to see, you know?
Definitely. Good game to experiment.
Yeah, and people seem to forget, too, is last year, the Patriots had the same offensive struggles for a while. Their offensive line wasn't that bad, but all of a sudden they started playing really good. They weren't great. They weren't playing well for a while. We couldn't get the running game going. The running game was... last year was more hot and cold. You saw spurts where it was really good. This year, it's like you barely see. You see like 3 runs that are good. You know what I mean? But it's a very similar formula. Last year, we lost an atrocious game to the Steelers we should have won. Atrocious. We got blown out by Tennessee. We had no offense. Everyone said, we have no offense. And all of a sudden, week 15 and 16, 17, whenever the hell it was, they started, you know, something clicked and their defense became, it was really our defense last year that sucked, and all of a sudden it became great. So
yeah,
you can turn it around in week 16 or 17. You can turn something on. They have a couple pieces that they just need to, like, let grow a little bit or whatever it is, and we'll see what happens. I think the Patriots, I mean, I'm going to go 30 to 6. That's when we go 30-6.
Okay. I'm a little more conservative. 23-10 for me. I don't think the offense is going to do that great.
I think you're going to see it
do terrific.
Well, I think you'll see a defensive touchdown. That's where that score comes in a little bit.
I see what you mean. That makes sense. Yeah. One thing to note just on what you said about last year's team. They had Gronkowski the whole time. They weren't using him much during the season. And that a lot of that was, I mean, we have plenty of podcast minutes dedicated to throw the ball at Gronkowski, and the whole time they had Devlin, and that was really
that's
the key
true
to the running game.
Well, you're exactly right. That's two really good blockers that are no longer there.
Yeah, definitely part of the problem.
And also Andrews,
missing your center, who's getting everybody on the right assignments and making sure everybody takes care of biz.
Mm-hmm.
That's a big stuff. Elsewhere this week, last week there were a lot of really good games. You're like, oh my god, I want to see Ravens, Bills, and Saints, San Fran, and I want to see England and all this stuff. This weekend, not nearly as much. And anyone else who's looked at the schedule, it's not going to get much better. because at the end of the year, it's all, like all divisional games.
Right.
And so you miss those really juicy matchups. It's like San Francisco against the Ravens. Whoa, that's a crazy one. No, you're going to lose those.
Yep.
But this weekend, we got a divisional matchup. Denver at Kansas City. Drew Lock going into his third start.
Looked pretty good. He's been looking pretty good.
He's 2-0. He's been looking pretty good. His defense is playing terrific form right now. This is a game. This is really the last chance for Kansas City to lose.
Where,
as a Patriots fan, really want that to happen because the Raiders are not going to beat them.
I mean, Denver looked pretty good, so we'll see.
Yeah. And then Bears at Packers, similar scenario where Mitchell Trubisky has put together back-to-back competent games. They beat the Cowboys.
Yeah.
Cowboys are trash. The Eagles almost lost on Monday Night Football. They had to take the Giants and Eli to overtime. How bad is that playoff team going to be?
Terrible. Absolutely
so the Bears
terrible.
Are going to Green Bay. Can they spoil Green Bay a little bit? Who's, I don't know. I can't say I'm a big believer. I mean, they only beat the Redskins by like 8 points.
Who?
The Packers did last weekend.
Yep, absolutely. I don't know. We'll see.
Not a huge believer in that one.
You got LA at Dallas, the Rams at the Dallas Cowboys, which is, I think, a pretty good game. Just to see if they can Dallas do anything.
The answer to that is
no. Yeah, I know. It's just terrible.
Rams will win that game.
Buffalo at Pittsburgh. I don't know if Buffalo wins that game.
This got flexed to Sunday night. The Duck Man. Ducky up there.
Duck Dodgers. I don't know.
Ducky Hodges. This is really it. And I was looking at how this could play out over the rest of the season. The Bills come in at 9-4. Steelers come in at 8-5. And really, whoever wins this game has the inside road to the fifth seed.
Right.
Not only will they, you know, if the Steelers win, then they come in with the same record plus the tiebreaker against the Bills, whereas the Bills win and the Steelers lose, that gives them a two-game edge. That really seals it for the Bills.
But it also, if the Bills lose, that gives us a lot more breathing room.
In the AFC East, yeah. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to be rooting for the Steelers. But for these two teams, if you just think about whoever is going to win, whoever's going to be the fifth seed will play either Houston or Tennessee. And whoever's the sixth seed will have to go into either Kansas City or New England. Much rather go to Tennessee or Houston.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
That's for sure.
And then the last game is the Colts at New Orleans, which should be a good game for Monday night. But I don't know.
I don't know. New Orleans needs, after that loss, they need to try to keep pace, stay ahead of the Packers, keep their first round bye. And one other one is the Vikings are playing the Chargers, and they need that game.
Yeah.
They really need that.
I don't like it. But yeah, you're right. It's important.
All right. Yawning on Mike. I think that's our cue. All right. Thank you all for listening. We'll be back next week to talk about this game and you know, when Belichick gets suspended for the next 6 years.
Oh, my God.
Something he had nothing to do with and however many draft picks.
Don't even say that.
Just a small fine. Won't be a big deal.
I hope
anyway, so. On that note, we'll talk to you guys next week.
See you later.